All right, this particular month, we kind of, I know the first 2 weeks we had missionary speakers. We just want to focus a little bit more on soul winning and missions for the rest of the month. And hopefully we'll all be mindful of the fact that God has put us, make us responsible, all right, for winning people to Christ. And today we want to look at, so last week we talked about how we need to be contending for the faith, how we need to, knowing that in the last days there will be perilous times. But today we want to look at the soul winner. All right, the soul winner, okay? And we, depending on time, we'll try to finish the lesson part about half an hour, 40 minutes, and after that, we hopefully, if you have some time, we actually want to watch a mission video, all right, just about 25 minutes. Some of you may have watched this before, but for the benefit of those who haven't, hopefully it will be a reminder of how much it does take to win people to Christ, okay? So today, we're going to be talking about the soul winner. All right, let's have a word of prayer, right? Then we'll go in to start the lesson, right? Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We are grateful, Lord, that we can come into your presence even as we come. We thank you for the week. We thank you for the challenges, the joy. We thank you for the victories, Lord, the trials that come. We thank you for the strength and grace and mercies. Lord, you are faithful according to your word, because you say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. And Father, truly we are thankful that whatever we need, Lord, you will always supply. Whatever strength we need, you will always give. Whatever grace, how much grace we need, Lord, we find in the scriptures it is promised, Lord, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That, Father, there is nothing in this world that we face that your grace and your mercy cannot take us through. We thank you, Lord. Life is created by you. Because of sin, Lord, we fall, we get distracted. Yet your grace is able to restore us. Even as we see many instances and examples in the Bible, how Peter had fallen away from you, Lord, by denying you. How the demoniac was bound by Satan for many years. How the lady caught in adultery was in sin. How, Lord, Zacchaeus was dishonest for many, many years in his life as a tax collector. But yet your grace and your mercy and love came. And Father, every one of them became a soul winner, became someone, Lord, that can overcome in their lives. There is nothing, Lord, we thank you, that we cannot overcome by your strength and your grace. And Lord, we thank you for this promise. We pray for those who are sick right now. Pray, remember Arjun, Lord, who is at home because he's sick. We pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, will take care of him and heal him quickly. For the rest of the brethren who are on their way, speed them. And Father, for us who are already here, well, we pray that you give us attentive hearts to this important Bible topic, Lord, of the soul winner. And Father, our lives will be like Christ, who is a soul winner. We'll thank you, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's turn to a few verses. Let's turn to Proverbs 11:30 first as we start. Look at the whole area of soul winning. Okay, Proverbs 11:30. Proverbs 11 and verse number 30. Okay, let's read together. And then we'll just expound it a bit. Hopefully we can see the connection that throughout scripture God has given to us. Let's read Proverbs 11 and verse number 30. Alright? We'll just turn there. Just wait a few seconds for each other. And Proverbs 11:30. Ready? 1, 2, begin. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Okay? Solomon in his Proverbs mentioned the fruit of the righteous. In one of his Proverbs, he says, the fruit of the righteous. What is fruit? Fruit is the fruit, okay? From a tree, there will be fruit, okay, that comes out. So the fruit of someone who is living the righteous life, it's a tree of life. What does tree of life mean? What does tree of life mean? Tree of life means something that gives life. Okay? Remember in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve sinned, okay, let's turn to Genesis. Okay, just give you, so it's clearer. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Towards the end, in verse 22, apparently in the Garden of Eden, there was this tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? That was the fruit of from which Adam and Eve ate. Then in verse 22, there's another tree. It's called the tree of life. And the Lord God said, "Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now let he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Seems that there is a tree in the Garden of Eden, a physical tree, that if Adam and Eve were to eat of that tree, they will live forever, literally. Okay? And that's what the Bible says. So, but spiritually speaking, when Solomon says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, it means that the person who lives for God a righteous life becomes life to someone else. Okay? Does that make sense? Example, let's say if a person is walking with God and someone is discouraged, that person is a righteous person, can go to that person with the words of life and encourage that person. And the person could be more encouraged. The person may see new perspectives in life again. So we thank God for that. Okay? So the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And the next one is important. He that winneth souls is wise. What does winning souls mean? Anyone? Maybe just throw it for participation. Everyone just looking. What is winning? What does winning a soul mean? What does winning a soul mean? Anyone? The Bible says, "He that winneth souls is wise." What does winning souls mean? Anyone? We're supposed to be soul winners, right? So we need to know what does winning a soul mean? What does win? Okay, Ethan, maybe I ask you. You like to play soccer, right? You know what's the meaning of win and what's the meaning of lose, right? So what's the meaning of win? Sorry? Not being the loser. Okay, yeah. All right, in games, yes. But what does it mean to win? Okay, literally to win. What does it mean to win? To win. What does to win mean? To gain. Okay, ultimately to gain the victory. You win something, okay, you win a prize, you win the soccer game, you win because you put in effort and then you manage to get it. Or you put in money, you win certain things. I'm not talking about lottery. You win in a game. The Bible says, "He that winneth souls." He that winneth souls is wise. Now, what does it take to win a soul over to Christ? From an unsaved person to become a saved person. What does it take to win someone over to Christ? How many of you think it's easy? It's probably one of the hardest things that God has called us to do. And you realize winning souls, God put it in the Bible, "He that winneth souls is wise." And sometimes we just need to pause and think what God actually means when for a Christian to win someone to Jesus Christ. It takes a lot of hard work, it takes prayer, it takes time, it takes perseverance, it takes focus. It takes sometimes diligent praying through, thinking, asking God for wisdom, how to help these people. Okay? I know in America there's a lot of soul winning programs where you approach a person, you say this. Sometimes it's useful. It's good to always have a guide. But the problem that sometimes we face, different people are different. They face different challenges in life. Someone may be, like my wife is ministering to someone who's intellectually, she's pretty low. So even though we told her gospel 1,000 times and said the sinner's prayer her 1,000 times, she's still not too sure. So our goal is not so much to just tell her, ask her to say the sinner's prayer, but to help her to understand. Does that make sense? So when you can win a person, God says it's wise. So he that winneth souls is wise. It does take a lot to win a person to Christ. But remember also, the winning of the person, many times, is dependent on the Holy Spirit working in that person's life. But God still says, as a soul winner, if we are able to be used by God to win that person, God says, you are wise. Does it make sense? God is all wise, but the soul winner is wise when he actually wins the soul. As much as we attribute the saving of the soul to God, which is true, because God gives the increase, but the person who is the soul winner requires that wisdom from God, requires a submission of heart to God so that God can use him. Does that make sense? So the whole wisdom is involved in being a soul winner. All right? So I just want to drop that in. Let's turn to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. There's another verse. Also, interestingly, in the Old Testament, talking about soul winning. Okay, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. There are very few verses in the Old Testament about soul winning. In the New Testament, it's full on. But in the Old Testament, there are some verses that's really encouraging because God actually talks about winning a soul to Christ. Okay, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 2 and 3. Okay, let me just read. Let's read together verse 2 and verse 3. Okay, ready? 1, 2, go. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Stop there. What is this verse referring to? What is this verse referring to? Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. The rapture and the resurrections, all right? Okay, Daniel's not very specific here, but he's talking, there will be a resurrection. And then later on in verse 2, he says, some to what? Everlasting life. That's a rapture. But then some to shame and everlasting contempt. There's the resurrection at the Great White Throne Judgment. Okay? So, in the Old Testament, it wasn't very clear, but look at verse 3. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Seems from this particular passage, Daniel is referring to people who are soul winners, turning people to righteousness, that in the time to come in heaven, they will shine as the stars. The soul winners will be shining. Because they are the people who, through God's wisdom and spirit, bring people to righteousness. Okay? So in Proverbs 11:30, it talks about he that winneth souls is wise. Daniel, in his prophecy, also mentioned the soul winners as well. Let's look at one more verse. Psalm 126, verse 5. Psalm 126 and verse 5. Stop me, all right, if there is any question. Psalm 126. And this is a soul winners passage. In verse number 5, let's read verse 5 and 6. Ready? 1, 2, go. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The Bible says here, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, referring to the word of God, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Many times when we want to win someone to Christ, many times when we want to talk to someone about Christ, and we find that maybe the response is not as positive, okay? In our hearts, sometimes we are heavy about it. Remember the farmer, when they plant, and as they plant the seed, as they sow the seed, there are many factors that will affect whether or not the plant will grow. Whether there's going to be rain, whether the sun will come at the right time, whether the sun will limit its rays so that it won't be too hot to destroy the crop. And so the farmer, as he plants, I remember when I was in the Philippines, one of our, I think, what's his name? Brother Frank. Brother Frank has his corn field and he was planting. And you know, during that time, Philippines was experiencing a dry kind of spell. And so he had to actually bring water from the river. So he had all generators and all that kind of thing. And for a farmer, if what he grows dies, he loses the whole thing. Okay, and sometimes sowing the seed can bring tears to your eyes because you see people rejecting Christ. You see people who you have been following up for some time suddenly doesn't want to have anything to do with Christ. Like, what's happening? The Bible says there that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And that's a promise, but the focus is so he that goeth forth, we need to be going and weeping, bringing the word of God with us. God has not called us to be... God doesn't have a quota for us. Can I use that? God doesn't have a quota, like no insurance agent or yesterday, 2 days ago when I was helping Jeremiah to try to get his phone back, And the guy at the counter was telling me, I need to make a sale. So that's why he was very helpful. You know? So I thank you. So I told him, thank you for being so helpful. Then he said, we also got quota. You know, if you don't have Singtel, if you don't meet the quota, then the boss will start asking questions, why is not that? Well, we thank God that God doesn't have a quota for us. God didn't say, okay, Johnny, by this year, you have to win 700 to Christ. Like, we're dead. We know why God doesn't give us a quota? Because saving of souls is His business. Changing of the heart is His business. But you know what? He wants us to learn how to be more and more like Him. And you know, many times a soul winner will go in tears. Many times when you talk to someone about Christ, many times you talk to a loved one about Christ, and it's just like, why in the world can't they see? And you will bring their heart of perhaps grief with you. But the Bible does promise that a soul in tears shall reap in joy. These are some of the passages that we can turn to the fact that, you know, in the Lord Jesus' life, He was very involved in preaching to multitudes, right? He was very involved in healing the multitudes. But in the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, when it comes to one-on-one, He was also very interested. Like the Samaritan woman, like the demoniac, like Zacchaeus, and on, there are so many individuals that the Lord Jesus Christ would personally sit down and win that person to Christ. Okay, and that is a very, very important fact. And I was just reading this particular lesson. This author was making this illustration that sometimes, many times, the pastors and preachers are so involved in the work of God, the big, well, the lessons and the preaching and all that, that one day apparently this preacher had a dream. And he was standing before the Lord Jesus Christ, and the preacher was asked by the Lord Jesus Christ, so where are the souls that you have brought in? And the preacher was speechless. But to the point that because he was so busy with everything else, he forgot a very important truth, that God has called us to be soul winners. Do you realize that in the Bible, God calls us individually, personally, to be a soul winner? And then the true kind of distilled for me, in the sense that many Christians will go out and they will give tracts. But do you realize God called every Christian? Not every Christian is called into full-time. Okay, not every Christian is appointed to full-time service. But because we are full-time Christians, and as we are full-time Christians, God has called us to be full-time soul winners for Him too. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. All right, the Great Commission. There's a key word there that is very interesting. Small little word, oftentimes missed, but Matthew 28 and verse number 18. We must be clear. Matthew verse 28, verse 18. Let me just read verse 18 for you. And I hope you can see the connection between 18 and 19 and 20. In 18, Jesus says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power means what? All authority, all permission, all the things you need, all authority is given unto you in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. You have to see that link between the two. The authority to go and win souls and bring them into the kingdom of God rests with the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has delegated it to us. Does it make sense? It's a delegated authority. That's why as a local church, we must be very clear, our authority must be from God. Okay? Why does Ebenezer Baptist Church exist? It exists because of the teachings of the Word of God, because we lose our authority when we get out of the pages of this book. Just like a police officer has delegated authority to arrest people. But the moment they break or become corrupted, they can be suspended from their duties. Why? They have moved out of the authority delegated to them. Does it make sense? And so as a local church, we must be careful to stay within the pages of this book. But look at verse number 19. Jesus says, go ye, therefore. He's talking to the disciples in the context. Go ye. The word ye there, if you use in the newer translations or even in a King James, New King James, you might have go you therefore. Okay? There's a reason why the King James translators put the word ye. Do you know what's the meaning of ye? Ye means you, right? But ye in the King James Bible is plural. So every time you say ye, it's in the plural. So when Jesus says go ye, it means go ye all of you. So when he's talking to the disciples, go ye, all of you, every one of you. All right? And the apostles represent, the apostles are the pillars of the church during that time. The commandment is given to the entire church, represented by the apostles. So when the Lord Jesus says, go ye therefore and preach, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Great Commission is actually given to every one of us. God calls all of us to be soul winners. Not everyone can be in full time, but all of us have to have the knowledge that God has given us a responsibility of winning someone to Christ. Okay? What is soul winning? I'll just read something from Spurgeon. I don't think it's in your notes, but Spurgeon said this, which is very interesting. He says, you know, some of us are very preoccupied with happiness. Okay, this word is very preoccupied. I want to be happy. This is what Spurgeon said. If I were utterly selfish and had no care for anything else but my own happiness, I would choose, if I might under God, to be a soul winner. Because never did I know perfect, unutterable happiness of the purest and most enriching kind till I first heard of someone who sought and found a Savior through me. You know what Spurgeon is saying? Spurgeon says, if I want to be happy in my life, if God allows me, I want to be a soul winner. Why? Because I've never found such pure joy when I realized someone became a Christian because of me. Someone was led to Christ because of my life, because of what I did. That was Spurgeon's testimony. And Spurgeon personally preached to millions, thousands were saved under his ministry. What is soul winning? Okay, I'll give you a definition from an evangelist, Billy Sunday. Some of you may not know him. He's quite a popular fundamental preacher. He says, soul winning is a definite effort to lead a definite person to receive a definite Savior at a definite time. Say again. Soul winning is a definite effort to lead a definite person to receive a definite Savior at a definite time. I think one of the things I learned, probably for Brasso as well, notice every time he come here, if there's an unsaved, he'll be with that person. That's soul winning. Okay? And for us, we have friends. And sometimes over lunch, over dinner, that you may meet your friends. It could be that God may set up an opportunity for you to one-on-one share the gospel with this person. And by God's grace, lead that person to Christ. Alright? Does that make sense? All of us, we can go tracting and all that. That's good. But you know, even at tracting, we can actually lead someone to Christ. Because if the person is open and you're able to share the gospel, and the person will say, hey, why? Yeah. And then you can ask the person, would you like to trust Christ? And the person trusts Christ. You're being wise. You're winning that soul to Christ. Okay? You know, Christians, I want to challenge us, because I want to balance that, because one of the questions I would like to ask us, when was the last time we actually led someone to Christ as a Christian? And I want to pose that as a challenge, because we need to realize that God has called us not to just be Christian, but to be soul winners. To actually win someone to Christ. And the more we practice that, the Bible actually says we become wise. Proverbs 11:30. All right, you want to have wisdom to win someone to Christ? You realize soul winning is like trying to climb Mount Everest. It's like climbing. You know why? Because you are aiming to conquer something or win something that is so precious. A lot of people have given up a lot, a whole year's work or whole year's no pay leave, so that they can train, so they can go up Mount Everest. There's a lot of training, physical, mental preparation. Your body had to be ready for the thin air as you go up. You need to be ready to carry heavy equipment as you go up, because the oxygen is so little as you go up. The cold, you must be strong. You must be able to, you must know a lot of things before you actually get that soul, or rather get climb Mount Everest. I think hopefully that is a kind of an illustration of what it means to win a soul for Christ. And if we think about that, God really needs to work in our hearts, because all of us are called to be soul winners. And the reason why God wants us to be soul winners is because we become more and more like Christ as we go. All right. So I just want to give you some reasons for being a soul winner. And then after that, the needs of a soul winner. And then very quickly, heart of God for soul winning. And then we'll close. Okay. And then we'll try to see whether we have time just to view that video on our mission, so as to keep our hearts warm for missions. Very quickly, let's turn to Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Reasons for being a soul winner. What are some reasons we need to win souls for Christ? Maybe I just get people to read differently. We'll all turn to Mark 8 first, because I think this is a very important starting point for us. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. Any questions, anyone? If you have any questions, just put up your hand. Just stop me, all right? Mark chapter 8 and verse 35. Okay, let's read to... maybe I'll read, we'll follow along. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the Gospels, the same shall find it, the shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What the Lord Jesus Christ is saying in verse 36, so what if you gain every gold, every silver, everything, the prestige, the fame of this world? If you get everything, and everything belongs to you. And Jesus says, what is the profit if you gain everything and lose yourself, lose your own soul? Okay, verse 37, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Jesus is asking what kind of question? He's asking a rhetorical question. A question that have a very obvious answer. What can be given in exchange for Oswald or Ben or Ron Gideon? What can be given? Maybe in under the ISIS, under some of these communist state, if I'm not wrong, last time in China, you know how they clear minefield? They have human clearance. You know, just the soldiers just lining up. That's what they say. They're just lining up, and this as they walk, and that's how they clear a minefield. You know, it's a minefield, right? It's full of bombs hidden underneath. How they clear the hole is just line up soldiers, just walk, and then they step, just blow up. Because life is cheap. In some countries, life is cheap. But God says every single human being is so valuable to God in the eyes of God that God says that nothing in this world can be compared to one soul. Think about that for a while. It means everyone sitting in Bethel Baptist Church today is so valuable that Jesus Christ himself had to come to die, because there is nothing else that can pay for our soul except the life of God. Think about that. You know how precious we are? You think about the worth of a soul. So if we have trusted Christ, we go out, we look at another man, that is the same person that the Lord Jesus Christ died for. Why? Because he is so valuable. Our neighbor is so valuable. Our parents are so valuable. Our grandparents are so valuable. Our cousins are so in the sight of God. We need to understand the worth of a soul. All right? Why do we need to be a soul winner? Because God places not just a high worth on the soul. God says that there's nothing you can give in exchange for a soul. Nothing except one. You know what that? The life of God. God has to give his own life to save one soul. All right? So that's value. Another one, Revelation, another reason for being a soul winner, Revelation 20:15. I just read, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Another reason for being a soul winner is the fact of hell. Okay? I'll clarify overall, right? Last week, Pastor Jacob Tan talked about salvation is not about heaven and hell, but there's a lot of things we need to consider in that. I spoke to him about that. He believes that it is important, heaven and hell, okay? But I think his concern is that Christians have become Christians for the sake of becoming Christians. After that, they do nothing in their life. They don't grow in Christ, okay? So the fact of hell is an important thing I'll touch on during the message today afterwards, okay? The next one, another reason for being a soul winner is because the Great Commission is given to us, all right? The Great Commission is given to us. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19. Okay, just go a bit faster. In 2 Corinthians 5:19, the Bible says, to wit, know this, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Right, we're talking about the whole redemption process, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word of reconciliation refers to the gospel. When the Bible says God committed to him the word of reconciliation, do you know what it means? It means, what does commit means? What does the word commit mean? When I say I commit something to someone means, I take, let's say this is the Great Commission. Okay, the word commit means I give it to my wife and I let go. That means the whole commission is in her hand. In other words, he is now the person responsible for the Great Commission. Okay? And committed. That's why Paul took it so seriously. He gave his whole life for it because it was committed to him. And of course, then verse 20, the verse for our church. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ that be reconciled to God. We need to be a soul winner because the Great Commission is given to us. Okay? And then point number 4, John chapter 21. Let's turn there. Another reason for being a soul winner is because we love God. It's because we love God. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. I was sharing with some of the Filipino brethren this week. But in John chapter 21, we look down to verse number 17. We just take one verse. This is a situation, the background is when Jesus met Peter and Jesus asked 3 questions of Peter. Okay? What did he ask in verse 17? He says unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He was asking Peter, do you love me? And if you do, and Simon, son of Jonas, was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And Peter said, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Think about this. Yes, I know some people say in the context, the specific passage is actually directed at Peter. Peter, if you love me, you care for my sheep. You take care of my sheep. You watch over my sheep. That was one of Peter's mission, God's mission for Peter. Okay? However, the Lord also says, if you listen to Acts chapter 8 verse 4, right? Just cross-reference that. Acts chapter 8 verse 4. Notice what the early church did with the gospel. In Acts chapter 8 verse 4. Acts chapter 8 verse 4. Therefore they, referring to the church, who was scattered, that was scattered abroad, went everywhere, preaching the gospel, preaching the word. Okay? They knew that there was a great commission given to them. They knew the love of God. And so as a result, everywhere they went, they preached the word. Okay? The reason why we are soul winner, because of our love for God. When we love the Lord, we will tell someone about Christ. We will. Because we have experienced His love, and therefore we will tell someone else about the love of Christ. Okay? Another point is reasons for being a soul winner is the reward we will get in heaven. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? You know, we oftentimes refer to this in 1 Thessalonians 2:19. That for a person who dedicates himself to soul winning, he will receive what we call the soul winner's crown. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. We want to be a soul winner because we like God to give us a reward in heaven for being a soul winner. The reward we'll get in heaven. Is there anything wrong for a Christian to think like that? Well, Christians, when you serve God, you shouldn't ask for anything. But you know what God says? Press on towards the mark for the prize. There's nothing wrong. All right, just as an Olympic swimmer, Olympic gymnast, Olympic runner, you don't join the Olympics just to, I want to enjoy the economy class SIA to go to the Olympic Games. You don't think like that. You think, I'm training to get the gold medal. You know, as a Christian, we need to train to get the prize from God. Okay? Of course, you get the prestige as an Olympic swimmer and all that, but you know, scripturally, the reason why we want to win the reward is so that at the end, what will you do with the crowns that God will give to us? The Bible tells us that when we stand before God and we thank Him for His salvation for us, as He rewards us, we will take back the reward and say, we don't deserve it, Lord. I've done it all for you, and you give back the reward to Jesus. All right? So that is the motivation we have. Another reason for being a soul winner, and I hope this will be a practical reason for us, it's a desire for our own family to be in heaven. It's a desire for our own family to be in heaven. Christians, never forget this. In John chapter 1, verse 40, I'll just read. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. You know what he did? In verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah. When Andrew the apostle heard about Jesus, the Bible says the first thing he did was went home and tell his parents. Oh, not parents, his brother. All right? We have found the Messiah. The Jews were waiting for the Messiah. Andrew says, look, we found the Messiah. All right? In the Bible, this is oftentimes known in evangelistic circles as the Andrew principle. Okay? When we become Christians, the first thing we do, pray and win our families to Christ. Okay? Any questions for that? Some of the reasons we have for being a soul winner. Let's move on, right? How can we be a soul winner? What are some of the things we need to have as a soul winner? Number one, we must be safe and sure of his or her own salvation. You cannot give something you don't have. You cannot give something you don't know. And you cannot give something you're not sure of. Many Christians, you know what the devil does? The devil oftentimes keep you in your sin so that you're so unsure of your salvation that you wouldn't want to go out and win someone because you're unsure. You say, how am I supposed to tell someone the gospel if I'm not sure? Can I say this? Doubts is one of the weapons of Satan. Agree? Okay? You know how you overcome your doubts? By placing faith in Jesus Christ. God says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And if you look at your trend of life, yes, I've trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Okay? I'm struggling with sin, yes. But if God says that I'm saved, then I'm saved because I put my faith in Him. Okay? And it's not in a proud way. Say, God says so, I'm saved, Lord, I can do what I want. That's not the attitude. The attitude is, God, I'm struggling with sin and I'm doubtful. But I thank you that your word says, because I put my faith in you, I'm saved. You can have confidence in God's word. Does that make sense? So we have to be clear. God's word will help us overcome the doubts of doubt. Okay, you must be sure of your salvation. Number two, you must be a growing believer. Growing believer. What do you mean by being a growing believer? I'll just go through some of the points. Number one, you need to be surrendered. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You must be a surrendered believer. Number two, you must be a studying believer. What do you mean? In 2 Peter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In order for us to grow, we need to study the Word of God. We need to learn the Word of God. I will not overemphasize the need to be in the Word. You need to know the Word of God in order for you to grow. Just as you need food. I think recently Jeremiah wants to come for church camp. Okay? Jeremiah wants to come to church camp. But his enlistment into the police force is a mata-mata. Okay? His enlistment in the police force is on the 9th of December. Our church camp is on the 10th of December. Okay? Now, if he were to pass his NAFA test, IPPT, physical fitness test, he has to get a silver so that he can go into the police force 2 months later. Otherwise, he has to go in for his, what do you call it? Fitness training, right, for 2 months. Okay? All right. So, he's trying to build his, one prevalent problem with my family watching now. So he's trying very hard. Thank God for committed bodybuilding church members who are trying to help him. All right. And one of the things my son was telling me, you can identify the bodybuilders later. He's saying, okay, you need to drink this. You need to eat this. So that as he exercises, putting in protein so that he can build his muscles. Okay? Otherwise, what you do is, as you exercise without putting in the additional nutrients, you know what happens? You actually just... You convert to muscles, but you need to make it bigger so that you can actually overcome yourself. We cannot grow without eating. Some people eat too much, okay, we need to be careful, but you have to eat the right foods, eat it in the right proportion, and exercise so that you can grow. Alright? In the same way, Christians, we will never grow to become like Jesus Christ. If you do not know Him, you don't know His Word. Okay? You need to be a studying believer. Next thing, you need to be a sharing believer. In 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Peter challenges the Jews, make sure, number one, put God, set God apart in your heart. In other words, God has first place. And then be ready to tell other people about the hope that you have. And then the fourth S is you need to be a supplicating believer. What do you mean by supplicating believer? You need to be prayerful. You can never win the loss. You can never be an effective soul winner if you go in your own strength. Because genuine conversions only rest with God. Only God can save. We do the job of sharing the word. Okay? So we need to be safe and sure of our salvation. We need a growing believer. And number three, we need to have compassion for the lost. Would you agree with that? I hope for those who have been going out tracting, that God will increase our compassion for every time we go out. We need to have the compassion, because otherwise we defeat the purpose of us even going out for tracting. What's the purpose of doing? Why do our military forces train? They have a purpose to defend Singapore. And if attacked, they will fight back so hard that our enemies will think twice before attacking again. Why? They have a specific mission. Christians, if we forget why we go out tracting, over time, we will lose the focus. We're going out tracting because someone needs Christ. All right? We need to have a compassion for the lost. And Jude 1:22 says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And then in Acts 1:8, the next point is we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be filled with the Spirit. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me. Literally, the word witness means a martyr. Someone who dies for the faith. So embedded in that word that Jesus says, I'm foreseeing when you actually try to win the loss for me, you are going to face opposition to the point that some of them are going to kill you. Are you ready for that? And you know what? Of all the 12 apostles, 11 of them, in fact, all 12 of them went through martyrdom. One survived. Okay, according to church history, all of them, Peter was crucified, Thomas was lanced in India and different parts. But even John the apostle was actually boiled in oil, according to church tradition. He was boiled in oil, boiling oil. You know boiling oil? Now today I was cooking something for breakfast and I burned myself. See, a little bit got scar already. But John was boiled in oil and he survived. Okay? And that's why Nero was so angry, he sent it off to exile in Patmos. Okay? So, one of them survived. But you know what? Many Christians later on, as they witnessed for Jesus Christ, died for the faith. But you know, for us, when we share the gospel with people at the door, people may shout at us, they may say, they may insult us. But you know what? We need to be filled with the Spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit, God gives us boldness to share the word. And sometimes people say, I don't know what to say, I'm very scared. Who isn't? But you know, when you feel the Spirit of God, you don't have to be afraid. That's why the apostles were willing to share. Remember Stephen? He shared the gospel to the point that they stoned him to death. And at his death, he demonstrated the power of the gospel. What's the power of the gospel? Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. The power to change a person, that they would even forgive someone who is killing them. Does that make sense? All right? So we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. All right? Any questions? Okay, moving on. What is God's heart in soul winning? Just very quickly, let's look at Psalm 126. Okay, any questions? I'm just giving you all the points. Now, I know that sometimes, can I say this? Unless you're doing it, you won't see the reality of some of these things that I'm saying. We need to be doing soul winning, all right? Hopefully through that, you can always practice this Wednesday. Every Wednesday, we've got practice sessions, okay? 126, okay? Psalm 126, and verse 5 and 6. I'll give you some points about God's heart for soul winning. In Psalm 126, verse 5, the heart of God for us is that we go in soul winning. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth. We need to go. The first step in soul winning is we have to go. We have to go. And we have to bring the gospel with us everywhere we go. We need to go. And the Bible also says we need to go forth and weep. We need to go brokenhearted over the loss. And one of the things, hopefully, Ambassador will always have is a heart and broken heart for people who are lost, people who don't want Christ, people who... We need to weep for them, okay? Because Jesus did that. In Luke chapter 19, verse 41, I'll just read. And when he, Jesus, was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he approached Jerusalem, look at Jerusalem. You know what? The moment he looked at Jerusalem, he wept. You know why he wept? He wept because he knows 30 years later, General Titus is going to come in AD 67 to AD 70, and he's going to dig a trench of siege around Jerusalem. And if you look at the history books of the Jews, you realize Jesus was looking forward to a time that because of the Jewish rejection of the Messiah, they are going to be wiped out by the Roman Empire. All right? In the book of Josephus, who was a Jewish historian, over 1 million Jews was executed. And 900,000 scattered AD 70. And in this particular passage, Jesus wept over it. Said, why don't you all change? Why don't you all accept the Messiah? You know, what about our loved ones? Looking forward to the day that they may see Christ without the Savior, as our hearts broken over it. And we need to pray. You know, when we have that mindset, the things of earth doesn't really matter anymore. Yeah, we still need to do our duties. Yes, we still need to fulfill our duties of family and work and all that. But our hearts need to look forward to the time that, Lord, I want my family, I want my loved ones to be in salvation, in the kingdom of God. We need to go brokenhearted. Another point, the heart of God is we need to bring the word of God with us, because it is the word of God that will save them. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. A person who has had a vision, a person who may something drastic happen in his life and he decided to become a Christian, we need to be very careful of those things. I'm not saying God cannot use those things. Okay, God may use those things to the point that, and when we approach that person, the person is kind of ready, but we need the word so that they can understand what God has and they accept Jesus based on the word. Because he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, that's what Jesus says. Okay, we need the word of God. We need to bring the precious seed. You know, every Tuesday, Wednesday, last time, we always go, why? We are sowing seeds. And hopefully someone may read so that they can be saved. Okay? In Psalm 126 verse 6, another thing is, God promises there will be rewards. There will be rewards. There will be rewards. There are people who say attracting is not effective anymore. Well, some of us are here because of attracting. Okay? You know what is the statistics for reaching people? For every 200 person you reach, non-believer, you only get one response. That is not even independent Baptist statistics. That's Navigators, who is a very strong outreach arm. But in their statistics, 200 people, you probably reach one, 0.5%. Does that mean we stop reaching? No, we keep going. In fact, we keep flooding, we keep sowing the seed. That's why, behold, a sower went forth to sow. You know how the sower sowed the seeds in the past? They don't plant rice and they don't put one by one. And everyone will... You know how they sow the seed? They grab a handful of seeds and they just throw. That's what they do, they throw. Okay, some of you are nodding your heads. You know, in the Jewish days, when they sow seed, they have a bag, they grab, and they throw. And they throw. Some will fall on the wayside, some may fall on the thorny ground, some may fall on the stony ground, but there will be some on the good ground. Okay? That's what we're doing. Alright? There's an absolute scriptural basis why we do what we do. So, but you know, as you sow seeds, you need to have the heart, God, please save this person. God, please save this person. Alright? God promises there will be results. Okay? And as we go, the Bible promises we will come again with rejoicing. Alright? And shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with them. Any questions? The Bible says also in Luke chapter 15, what does the Bible say? There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. You know what? When one person turns to Christ, oh heaven, I go berserk. They have a big celebration over one person who comes back. And you know what? We need to rejoice. No, it's sad. Sometimes, oh, so-and-so trusted Christ. Oh, really? When? Oh, okay, good. Do you realize how joyful God is when someone actually returns? Like a parent who has lost a child, and a child suddenly turns up. You know how happy that father and the mother will be? That's the kind of joy God has when someone comes back to Christ. Okay, any questions? Any questions? There's some practical considerations. Just read for yourself. It's quite straightforward. Seek for opportunities. Focus on gospel sharing. You know, when you're talking to someone, don't talk about the north, south, east, west. Just focus on. He may ask you different kinds of questions. Some people, if you discern that or the person, that is a stumbling block in his faith, you may have to address that. That's fine. But you know what? Some people, if some of you may have talked to people before, they like to ask all kinds of questions. But what about this? What about this? What about this? You know what they're trying to do? Just evade the main thing. Many times in gospel sharing, just focus on the gospel. Okay, be courteous. Speak to the person alone as much as possible because it's personal. All right. Seek to ask if the person would like to accept Christ at the end of your sharing. All right. This is something that some people find is very controversial. You must give the person time. If as a fisherman, you find a pool in your fishing rod, what do? If you're fishing and you find something biting, what do? Pull back, right? All right? Christian, can I challenge you? You kind of changed my mindset. That at the end of sharing the gospel, and the person is kind of wavering, you can ask, would you like to trust Christ now? And the person said, no, not really. Fine, just leave it. But the person said, yeah. Yeah. In Australia, my pastor was talking to an Italian who... An Italian young man, he's a Roman Catholic. Yeah, it's after a few sessions. But he actually asked, would you like to trust Christ? The person actually said, yeah, why not? There's nothing stopping me now. And thank God he trusted Christ, he got baptized, joined the church, and went on for Christ. And sometimes we may just have to pop the questions. Singaporeans don't like to pop this kind of confrontational questions. We need to learn, when we actually ask a question, it can mean the difference between heaven and hell for that person. Okay? I'll address that. But now Pastor Jacob Tan talked about heaven and hell. Last week we spoke about that. He went total agreement. Salvation is about heaven and hell, but it's also about after we get saved, we need to grow in Christ. Okay? His concern was people only focus on this, but they don't want to grow in Christ. Alright? So after I talk about that. Any questions? Don't argue with the person. Don't rely on your own experience. Depend on the Holy Spirit. Don't become impatient. Learn to wait on the Lord for the person to decide. If the person really says, no, I'm not interested, that's fine, just leave it. You have sown the seed. Our goal is not to save that person, it is God's job. Our goal is to patiently sow and pray and encourage the person and by God's grace, remove all kinds of excuses and reasons that he may have. Okay? And realize when we go soul winning, we are sinners speaking with sinners. We're not better than them. Alright? We are sinners as well. Okay? And any questions? For those who came in a bit later, just remember, God has called us to be soul winners. Okay, God wants us to be a soul winner. So when we actually win someone to Christ, we will have joy. All right?